Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Chris Paulette. I'm an editor here at How Stuff Works, and I've got writer Jonathan Strickland with me today.
Hey there. We're calling this one the Wide Open Podcast.
Awesome. You got to love open, especially when you're talking about open source software, which is what we were going to discuss. Basically, what happened was after the release of Gutsy Gibbon, which is a new version of the open source Ubuntu operating system, I decided to download it, burn it on a CD, and put it in my father's old PC that he gave me when he got a new one. And, actually I brought it up with him. I said, I'm going to, try this out on your old machine. You know, it's not going to be using Windows. He goes, that's just another thing that people aren't going to use. And he was saying, what's the big deal? Why should I care about open source? And I really didn't have a clean cut, good podcastable answer for him at the time.
Well, I'm glad you came into the room today because I've got one for you. Actually, we'll talk first about what open source really means. Open source is a way of developing software in which the original developer, whoever first programs the application, makes all of the source code available to anyone and everyone who wants to look at it. And not just look at it, but copy it, modify it, build on it, alter it in any way they like, as long as they're also following the rules set by the Open Source Initiative, which is a group that kind of oversees the standards that are used for open source software. And the idea here is that through a community of developers, a program can evolve much faster in a much more fluid environment than it would in a closed environment. And by closed environment, we're talking about companies that have proprietary software where only their developers work on the program.
We're looking at you, Microsoft and Apple.
Yes, particularly those two.
Yeah, especially Apple because, since they build their own machines, their operating system takes advantage of those specific pieces of the computer, like the processor and the video card and the audio card that specifically operates, which is one of those things that makes Apple computer, why, you know, people say that Apple computers just work. It's because they always have, you know, a certain subset of materials that go in to make the machines up.
Right. It's not like a PC that could come from one or one manufacturer versus 1,000 other manufacturers. It's software that is specifically designed to work on a specific machine. And so, hey, what do you know? It works. But the problem is they don't share that with everybody. So no one else can really tweak anything or build anything specifically off of that software. You have it's much more difficult to develop software for a platform like that.
And then you have, you know, bugs that come up and you have to wait for the manufacturer to do that rather than, you know, the open source group can go ahead and get to work on it and somebody can, you know, over their lunch break from their day job can maybe work out a bug that has been bugging the users of that software.
That's actually kind of an extension of the old hacker culture where hackers would look at a program and say, you know, this thing's just not doing what I think it should do. Not necessarily what it was designed to do, but whatever the hacker thought this program was supposed to do. Right. And then the hacker would go hack out some code. That's where the name came from. And, you know, by hook or by crook, that program was going to do what the hacker wanted it to do. And the same sort of thing with open source software. If you were to download a certain application that was open source and you were to use it, and you're saying, you know, this could really use such and such. There's this one feature that I really wish this had. Well, if you had the skills and the knowledge, you could program that feature and insert it into the application and make it available to everyone. And now, voila, we've got a new version of this software that suddenly has a new feature. And we didn't have to wait 3 years for the next cycle of releases to come around.
That's true. Yeah, an example that you may already be using is when Netscape was bought by AOL, they released their source code for the Netscape browser as open source. And it has resulted in the Thunderbird email client, the Firefox browser, and somebody released the Flock browser, which incorporates the ability to network your social network stuff into the browser. So you actually have a sidebar where you can check the Flickr, the latest feed from Flickr or Twitter or Facebook or whatever, you know, several different accounts, and they actually just added some new ones. So they saw a need for that and just went ahead and upgraded the browser the way they thought it should be done. If you'd like to learn more about open source, we have an article called What Does Open Source Mean? We also, if you are interested in the hacker culture, Jonathan wrote an article about how hackers work, and both of those are available on howstuffworks.com. Thanks for listening.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, Centratech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.